good survey tonight. Hope you've had a good day today. I've enjoyed our song service today. We're really blessed. We've got about five or six song leaders who do just a great job, but I've appreciated Mike today. The song he led before the last one was Jesus is All the World to Me. And every once in a while, I'll just be kind of taken back to when we lived in either Broomfield when I was about five or to Seattle when I was about seven or eight. And this song, I'm sure we sang when I was in Seattle. And it always makes me happy whenever we sing songs like that. Steve's always singing those songs we used to sing back there as well. But it just got me to thinking about how with Christianity, life's always fresh. It's nice to think back when you were young and everything was exciting and you were looking forward to all sorts of things. But as you get a little older, sometimes you take your eye off the fact that life is still fresh. We're going to live forever. I can only imagine what it's going to be like to be on our seventh year in heaven. I don't know exactly what God has prepared for us, but I can only imagine that if this physical life can be filled with such joy, that heaven is just to a different degree of that joy. And so I'm looking forward to that. And songs like that just make me remember, it's just kind of neat to me. 50 years ago, we were singing this song and I was enjoying life. And today we're singing this song and we're enjoying life. And we're very blessed. And we're going home to be with God someday if we can just keep going and stay within his light. We closed this morning with a passage in 1 Peter chapter 3 that said, in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. This really is the key to our life. If you and I can set apart Christ as Lord, if he can be first in our life, if he can really be our master, and if our lives can revolve around Christ, it's just going to make all the difference to us. It's going to give us a very satisfying life now. We're going to be able to help a lot of people. There's going to be some people that we would have liked to have helped that we couldn't. And let's face it, from time to time, we're not going to be as apt in doing things as we would like to be. But isn't it nice that we get an opportunity to go out into this world and influence people towards Christ? In your heart, set apart Christ as Lord is the key to that. And then always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. It's such a critical part. I appreciate all of y'all not only being here tonight, but the ones that will be able to stay and help us to send out this challenge. We've gotten so many letters. I need to share them with the congregation more. I forget to do that, but we get lots of letters and emails from different congregations telling us what they're doing with it and the type of success they've had with just giving an answer for the hope that we have. And reading the Bible gives us that answer. Otherwise, when somebody says, why are you always so happy? Or why do you think that you're going to heaven? Or whatever, you've got a reason for it. Not an arrogant reason, but a humble, blessed reason. Jesus died for me, and God extended his grace. He's given me chance after chance. This is why I have a hope, and we give that answer. And hopefully we have a scriptural reason and can take people to the places that give us that hope. But this is the part I wanted to point out. Do this with gentleness and respect. I'd like to talk about gentleness tonight. This gentleness is not, by any stretch of the imagination, a weakness or a softness on our part. This gentleness and respect combined together really is the type of attitude that's going to be very effective in attracting others to Christ, because there is not an overbearing nature about this type of a virtue, gentleness and respect. Keeping a clear conscience so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. I don't know about you, but I'm not always as good with this. If somebody has malicious slander, it's hard for me to be as gentle and as respectful as I should. But when we can do that, when we can just kind of overlook the insults that sometimes people have, and people aren't always intending insults, If we can do that, we can keep a clear conscience. And with gentleness and respect, we can win others to Christ. And this gentleness, again, is going to be one of the keys. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. We are told that if we have the Spirit within us, we'll bear fruit. And so if we think that these Christian virtues are actually personality traits that we either can or cannot help, they're like having blue eyes and brown hair, then you're not going to make the effort to cause these things to grow within you. Gentleness is something that we have to work at because we are not, I don't believe, many of us at least, are not inclined towards gentleness. We're usually inclined towards impatience. We're usually inclined towards knocking somebody's head together when they're not doing what they're supposed to as quick as they need to do it. But that's not going to be conducive to bringing others to Christ. There needs to be a gentleness there. And the gentleness will be there if we have the Spirit within us because it's a fruit of the Spirit. Imagine for a moment that you like tomatoes and you've bought a bunch of tomato seeds and you plant those tomato seeds out in your garden. And as the spring comes up, beautiful flowers come up instead. Morning glories. Or I think the farmers and ranchers have a different name for them, bindweeds. They're pretty to look at, but they're not what you're expecting. And you're not going to be happy with the people who sold you that seed saying it was tomatoes and here you're growing something that's going to destroy everything else in your garden and may even get out of hand. Well, if you and I don't have gentleness, we're kind of that counterfeit seed. We're not bearing fruit. If a tree has apples tagged on it but never grows apples, is it an apple tree? And if a Christian has gentleness tagged upon them but doesn't show that fruit of the Spirit, are we really Christians? It's one of the ways that we measure our Christianity. In Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved." I think we should underline that within our minds, dearly loved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Greater love has no one than this, Jesus said, than to lay his life down for his friends. We are dearly loved, and that love has been proven to us over and over. But it says, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Well, again, there's several Christian virtues here, but I want to stress this on gentleness and the fact that we're to clothe ourselves with it. We're about to start up Champions again. If you're not familiar with Champions, it's just a group of kids from kindergarten to sixth grade that go out and they dribble at halftime. And sometimes they dribble really pretty and the crowd goes wild. And sometimes they dribble the ball off their foot and it goes somewhere else and the crowd goes wild. The crowd just likes it because these are our children. These are our grandchildren. And so we're going to root for them. Well, there's about, on any given year, anywhere between 50 and 70 of these kids. And so in order to keep up with them, we try and dress them in the brightest colored shirt that we can think of. And so if you ever wonder, why can you see they're basketball kids from outer space, that's by design. Because we want to be able, if we're missing one, we want to be able to look out at the crowd and say, oh, there they are. But the reason we can tell that they're there is because they are clothed with that bright color shirt. One of the ways that people will know that you're a Christian is that you are clothed with gentleness. And if you don't have gentleness on, are you genuine? We're proud of our football team this year. They've done very well. They're going to the state semifinals. They played a game yesterday, and they wore every one of them yesterday and each week a uniform that signified they were with the Happy Cowboys. And the teams that they played always wore a different uniform to signify that they were against the Happy Cowboys. You could tell them apart because they were clothed with their jerseys. They had declared themselves from one side for one side or the other. When it comes to gentleness, it is not just a phrase that we throw out. Either we will wear this, we will clothe ourselves with it, or we're not genuine Christians. Now, I say that, I realize we struggle from time to time, and we don't all have the Christian virtues, each Christian virtue, to the perfection that we would like to have them. We all struggle with different things. I'm not talking about the idea that you'll struggle with different things, like gentleness from time to time. What I am saying, though, is that if we're not even trying, as a matter of fact, if instead of trying to be gentle, we're trying to be the exact opposite, we have declared ourselves for the opposite side. And we need to take that into consideration, because a Christian, God's chosen people, someone who is holy and dearly loved, has to declare themselves for God. And that means we have to clothe ourselves with the Christian virtues. In Isaiah chapter 40, it really points out the gentleness of God. This is one of the reasons that we are trying to be gentle, is because it's an attribute of God, and we're commanded to be godly. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 11, it says, verse 10, it says this: "See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arms rule for him." Now, think about that for a moment. Do you think of someone coming with power as being gentle? Because sometimes we don't. Again, sometimes we take this gentleness as weakness. God is not weak. He has power, and he's coming with power. And it says this: "His reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him." And then this part in verse 11, "He tends his flock like a shepherd." This is something that anybody who's ever taken care of animals and has actually had to shepherd the flock will understand. "He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart." God comes with power, but he is gentle. He gathers the lambs and holds them close to his heart. Have you ever seen just a big old rough guy with a little puppy or a little kitten or whatever it is that's their pet? And it kind of looks out of place, because they'll be holding that and they'll be cradling it, and it's just kind of odd sometimes. Every once in a while you'll see a picture of somebody in the military, whether it's a Navy SEAL or an Army Ranger or something like that, and they're taking care of their dog. Maybe it's been injured or something, and they've scooped it up and they're holding it close to him, and you don't expect to see that combination of power and gentleness, and we don't see it very often, but with God we see it all the time. He has power. His power, we are told, is how he shows himself. His arm rules for him. But he gathers his lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He is protective, and he is gentle with those who are on his side. And it says he gently leads those that have young. I really like that part. He gently leads those who have young. AJ and Miranda now have two instead of one. And this last week, Tegan had the beginnings. They said he had the early stages of pneumonia. Doctors never said that when we were sick, when we were growing up. They just said, "Oh, they're sick. Keep them in for a few days." But now it's the beginning stages of something really terrible. And so he had the beginning stages of pneumonia. And then Macy, who's just, I don't know, 2.5 months. Well, I guess she's closer to 4.5 months old now. She's getting older by leaps and bounds. But she had a double ear infection. And since she's got two ears, that just means she had one infection in each ear. But when you're a parent of kids, small kids, you know that there are times where you struggle with them, because there's just something going on all the time. Sometimes it's serious, sometimes it's not serious to anybody but to you, but it's serious. God gently leads those who have young. There appears to be an extra consideration towards us as Christians when we are trying to serve God and we have all these difficulties that come up in our lives. I believe this is true for every part of our life when we struggle with different things, whether we're talking about our health or we're having money woes or something, relationship problems, whatever it is. If we are trying to serve God, I believe that he gently leads us. And it's just really nice to know that we serve a God who is that powerful, and yet who is gentle with us. Jesus is gentle. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 is a passage I think everybody's familiar with, but it contains one of the greatest promises, I believe, in the Bible. Jesus says in verse 28 of Matthew 11, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Do you ever just get tired? Just flat out tired. And you've just been going and going and going, and then somebody glibly announces, "I've got something extra for you to do." And it's something that you need to do. Or maybe it's just something that pops up that has to take your attention. And you think that you're about to come to the end of the really busy time. And then you learn it's just starting. And you're tired. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." This is the message we need to be taking into the world, because the world is tired. The world is going after things that for the most part are worthless, at least as far as having them number one in their lives. And they're tired, and they're struggling, and sometimes they're just put out, and they don't know why they're going through it, and they think life's unfair. This is why we need to bring people, this is one of the reasons why we need to bring people to Jesus. He says, "Come to me, all you who are wearied and burdened, and I will give you rest." This message of rest is important. "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me." Very opposite thing that we want to do sometimes is take something extra on. And yet here Jesus is saying, "Take my yoke." But then he explains, "Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." He's willing to exchange burdens with us. And that's why he says, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." Isn't it nice to know that when you have been struggling with certain things to the point where you've just about had it, to understand that you can exchange your burden for the burden that Jesus gives you. The burden Jesus gives you is to live well. The burden Jesus gives you is to be holy. The burden that Jesus gives you is to be faithful. But in exchange for that, no matter what you're going through in life, no matter how difficult, no matter how unreasonable people seem to you, or how many struggles you're going through that just don't seem fair because you seem to be going through more than anybody else, you get to trade that burden for Jesus's. It doesn't mean that you will not still struggle. It means that you have Jesus on your side helping you. You ever been carrying something that's just too big for you and you're about to drop it, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, somebody comes rushing up and they help you with the other end of it? And you think, "Man, I could do this all day if I just had help like this." No, we've got that with Jesus. Why? Because he's gentle and humble in heart, and he wants to help us. "My yoke is easy and my burden is light," is what Jesus promises us. Gentleness is one of the things that as we go through life is going to serve us well. I know when young men and young ladies get to the point where they start considering who they might marry in life, they start looking at a lot of different things, usually a lot of different physical things. They're looking for physical beauty that would attract them to them. But in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 3, it tells us what a woman's real beauty is. And I believe the converse is true, what a man's real beauty is. "Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair and the wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes." Notice that Peter, through inspiration, is not condemning anybody for braiding their hair, wearing gold jewelry, or wearing nice clothes. He's just saying, this isn't the source of your beauty. And if you think that it is, we need to reconsider where real beauty is. Young men, you're going to see a lot of pretty young ladies. But do they have true beauty? Young ladies, you're going to see some young men that you just think are just the most handsome thing in the world. But do they have something within them? Here is what Peter, through inspiration, says about true beauty. "Instead, it should be of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight." If we can be looking for that type of beauty, we're going to do well, because it's unfading. As a matter of fact, it just seems to grow as the years go by, does it not? If somebody has that gentle and quiet spirit, that unfading beauty is something that's just prettier and prettier to look at and to live with every single day. One of the things I like about the instruction that God has for us in the Bible is how practical it is, how well it allows us to enjoy life and to get through life's difficulties. When he talks about gentleness, he's not just throwing out some fluff thing to include in on a list of virtues. Gentleness is vital. When people are gentle with us, it makes our life better. And when we're gentle with other people, it makes their lives better, and it makes our relationships stronger. And that type of beauty is unfading. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 5, and we're going to close with this passage. It's a very short passage, but it's an indication that our gentleness is for everybody. It says, "Let your gentleness be evident to all." Evident means that it is something that is clear on the face of it. It is something that is obvious. It's evident. It's seeable. There's evidence for that. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Let me ask you this, is it? And if it's not, what will you do about it? And then it tells us why. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. God's watching us, not just to punish if we refuse to live the way he wants us to live, though he will punish. He's watching to help us. He's watching to encourage us. He's watching to ease our burden. And if we are living in this gentle way where it's evident to all, his nearness is going to be a blessing. And if we're not, his nearness is going to be problematic for us, especially at the judgment. Gentleness that God wants us to have is something that will carry us through life. It's something that is absolutely critical. It adds benefit to every aspect of your life. The question is, do you have it? The invitation's open tonight. If anyone needs to respond to the gospel's call, we'd encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.